The intense July heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is peaking. Don't wait for your energy bills to skyrocket before realizing your windows are failing. Call the pros at Window Nation now. Right now, you can get 50% off all window styles plus zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 years. Get the energy efficient windows from Window Nation installed in 1 day or less without the hassle. Beat the heat, protect your home, and start saving today. Schedule your fast free consultation now at WindowNation.com.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Friday, July 3rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Friday. Hopefully you're not working today. I believe it's a holiday for most people since July 4th is on a Saturday. So hopefully you're relaxing somewhere, maybe by the beach or maybe somewhere air conditioned, you know, sipping on something nice. Going to be a fun weekend ahead. Hopefully the weather cooperates. It does seem like the rain on July 4th in the Philly area might hold off until later in the night. So fingers crossed about that. But it's cool to see Philly and, you know, somewhat the center of the universe on Saturday as America celebrates its 250th year, which is very exciting. And look, as we've seen with the World Cup, as we've seen with hopefully with the All-Star game, as we've seen when the draft was here, different things like that, Philly always shows out when it is in the spotlight. So it should be a very exciting weekend, but whether you're in Philly, whether you're in, you know, Tennessee, Vancouver, Abington, whether you're in, you know, New York, wherever you may be, Westchester, Richmond, go enjoy your time. Spend it with the ones you love and enjoy some time off. It'll be a nice, hopefully relaxing few days for everybody. But as we are still reeling from the shock of the Jaylen Brown trade to the Sixers, the big win for USA over Bosnia in the World Cup, we're going to do some different theme stuff today. Going to talk about some of the more exciting and unexpected acquisitions in Eagles history. We got, you know, kind of off the Jaylen Brown thing. We're going to take a look at some offseason grades the Eagles are getting as more of those are starting to roll in. And then suddenly becoming like a must-listen podcast. Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship had Vic Fangio on the exciting mics, and he once again said something pretty interesting. Say what you will about Vic, but every time he talks, the Eagles coaches and PR staff must be like, please God, don't give away a secret. So he said something interesting, which we will get into in a second. But if you haven't yet, go check out Go Birds Insider. The link is in the podcast description. It's an extension of the Go Bird family, a place for us all to hang out during the day. You get a daily email. Spend a lot of time on those emails. I'm not going to lie. I feel like they're slept on right now. Like they're over 1,000 words, lots of thoughts, lots of different information. To me, I feel like it's the perfect thing when you wake up in the morning and you check your phone, check your email. It's the perfect thing to scroll through, get some thoughts, Eagles things, fun thoughts, all those type of stuff. So go become a Go Birds Insider, a real one, and let's let the family grow together. Speaking of family, there is an event today. It's not July 4th. Today is the day Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce get married. Yes, it looks like they are getting married in Madison Square Garden. There's no limit to the amount of content I will take in on this. It's just unbelievable watching it get set up and all the distractions and like blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's theater. It's amazing theater. It'll be a documentary at one point. But from an Eagles perspective, today is the day, seemingly, Jason Kelce gives his best man speech. And is there anybody in the world more qualified to give an unbelievable best man speech than Jason Kelce? I mean, he's funny. He's used to being in the public. He's animated, but he's also emotional. He's a good storyteller. When he retired, Travis Kelce cried for the entire press conference, basically. Jason Kelce cries at essentially a drop of the hat. Like, will he cry from the beginning? Will he tell funny stories? I mean, you can only imagine the funny things they've done together. Big stage, the video hopefully of it comes out. I would honestly maybe pay 100 of my own dollars to see that speech. I feel like it'll be that good. So Jason Kelce gives his speech today for noted Eagles fan Taylor Swift. I know people got mad at her about rooting for the Chiefs, but I think that's perfectly acceptable. Like if you marry into a family where the guy plays for the team, guess what? think you're rooting for that team. I have been wondering like what other Eagles could be there. Obviously, not a ton of connections that I know of, at least between Taylor and Eagles players. Travis Kelce, I don't think there's been a ton of crossover of guys that have played for the Eagles that also played for Travis. I wonder if Jason Kelce gets a few invites, right? Like if you're Travis, are you inviting Bo Allen because Jason Kelce's super tight with him? Connor Barwin, like someone like that, Brent Celek. Like are there players where Jason's super close with him? And so as a result, like Travis, like, yeah, you can invite him. There's going to be seemingly over 1,000 people there. Obviously a tough ticket to get, but at the end of the day, they don't seem to be being too stingy with who they're inviting if they're holding it at Madison Square Garden. So would not surprise me at all if Bo Allen or somebody like that is there. I think they'll probably take their cell phones. I think that if you're there, you're putting your cell phone in a bag and you're not being able to like potentially live stream or whatever, but seeing what type of content comes out from it will be exciting. So if you don't care about the wedding, good news, we're done talking about it. If you do care, you better believe if that Jason Kelce best man speech comes out, you will be hearing it on Go Birds Daily. All right, let's get into some of the very little Eagles news that's going on. Certainly a dry spell right now. Sixers in the headlines, soccer in the headlines, Phillies somewhat in the headlines. But we always have Eagles news to talk about. So, like I said, Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship are still hosting the Exciting Mics podcast, even though Reed is now in Houston. It's actually been, I don't listen to it full time, to be completely honest, but it does seem as if it's added stuff to the pod in the way that, you know, he talks about Houston. I don't know. Seems like it's been a little more interesting with them both not on the same team. But they have Vic Fangio on the pod, and Vic, in classic Vic form, you know, one-liners, giving out information, talking about his golf game. But at one point, Vic Fangio talks about Cooper DeJean in the safety position. Now, if you remember last week, Cooper DeJean said on the Exciting Mics pod, was then deleted off social, by the way, by the pod, that it's Epps and Mike Carter at safety, and didn't mention Andrew Mukuba until, you know, a few sentences later, and basically was like, we'll see if he's healthy, right? So that was interesting. So then in this episode, Vic Fangio is talking about the defense. He's got like a 20-ish second area where he breaks down like the whole team. So I'm going to play that for you. But I thought there was some interesting thoughts there on the team overall. So here's Vic Fangio on the Exciting Mics pod talking about the team, but with an interesting comment about Cooper DeJean and the safety position.
I like where we're at, especially, you know, on defense. I like our front line guys. We're going to have to do a good job of developing and finding good backups for the perceived starters that we have lined up. You know, Coop, your days at corner hopefully are over, but I will also tell you, you better stay honed up at corner.
What about safety?
Yeah, he's going to... There hasn't been much said that Coop might be is replacing Reed part-time.
Hey, go ahead.
Part-time. Yep.
All I want, do you think that's a high bar or a low bar, Coop, that you have to exceed?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on, be honest.
I think it's pretty, I'd say it's a high bar.
Oh, appreciate you.
Well, I feel like Reed played well for us. So.
We had to drag that out of him, Reed.
I know, that's the tough thing, man.
I hate getting soft, you know, with Reed. You know?
Hey, come on, man.
Well, yeah, it's pretty high bar, but you know, we got good coaches and still learning.
Offensively, it'll be interesting with the new system and a bunch of new coaches, but still the same group of players minus a couple, and then adding in a couple.
Yep.
So I think there's a few kind of interesting takeaways from that soundbite by Vic Fangio. But I think the headline would be Vic Fangio saying Cooper's days at corner, quote, hopefully are over, but you better stay honed up at corner, end quote. So he could be talking about a couple different things here. He could be talking about outside corner, right? Like hopefully your days are over at outside corner, but you better stay honed up on it. Or he could be talking about Nickel Corner. And if he's talking about Nickel Corner, that's pretty interesting. Now, Cooper did follow up by kind of saying part-time. And, you know, I think Vic has been somewhat clear that he really just likes Cooper at Nickel. He said a few times, you know, obviously, how great he is at it. And he likes keeping great players at positions they're good at. But coming off of the comment from Cooper last week when he mentioned Michael Carter as a starter next to Epps, didn't mention Makuba until, you know, a few sentences later, like, a lot's going on there at safety. So at safety in base, it sounds like it'll be Cooper and I would guess Marcus Epps probably at safety when they go to nickel. I assumed it was going to be Makuba and Epps, so Makuba still plays most of the snaps. But could they move Cooper to safety full-time? Like, I think if you're in Cooper's camp, you would like that. Outside of, if you ignore the challenges from a personal perspective of changing a position and learning all of it, if you're Cooper's camp and he becomes a top five safety in the league, that's a ton of money. Whereas at nickel, it becomes, and we've talked about this, a little more tricky to negotiate, figure out what he's worth. Nickels aren't paid as much, but he's obviously a very impactful nickel, all of those things. And it doesn't sound like his days at outside corner are happening at all. So Cooper, I mean, Vic is probably talking about outside corner, saying, you know, hopefully your days there are numbered and he's going to be a safety. He talks, though, about how he jokingly says, you know, if you guys talked about how Cooper could be replacing you, Reed, right? And Reed was obviously a full-time safety. So we'll see how it plays. I mean, ultimately, if Cooper's on the field every snap, like, that's kind of all that matters. But if he's able to play safety at a high level, and I think he's been pretty honest in saying the challenges that have come with trying to do that, but if he's able to do it, then yeah, I guess he's better full-time there. You can probably find a quality nickel easier than a quality safety. Like, Mac McWilliams projects people to play there. Michael Carter, who they're having practice at safety now, has played nickel at a pretty high level. Like, you could probably find one, right? So I think ideally, if you wanted to say he could be elite at safety or nickel, you would pick safety. But as long as he's on the field, that's probably ultimately all that matters. And as much as we talk about the contract negotiations, I do think they will pay him. I mean, you know, the one wild card would be Tariq Woolen being unbelievable, and maybe they decide to pay him. But I think they will pay Cooper DeJean. But pretty interesting, and definitely something to track in camp, how if he's ever at safety in the nickel package, and if they try other guys at nickel. I mean, it might just be a smart thing to do in general to prepare for. Like, if in game somebody were to go down, you could move Cooper to safety full time, and then you have someone that's taken reps at nickel. But just an interesting, you know, kind of quote from Fangio. Hopefully his days at corner are over. Interesting. All right. So the other thing Vic Fangio talked about was developing backups along the defensive line. So it's also funny. He says the perceived starters, like, he's just not willing to say guys like Jonathan Grenard are starters. That's that old school kind of coaching them. But he talks about developing backups at the defensive line. And the players I think of when he brings this up, Ty Robinson, clearly someone that needs to be developed as a rookie. I think he's probably thinking of Uar Bernard to an extent, although I don't know if Bernard kind of factors into their immediate plans this year. Nolan Smith, I think, is someone that they want to continue to develop. Jalix Hunt needs to develop, but I think he's probably in those perceived starters. Keyshawn James Newby, the rookie that they drafted in the seventh round. So it is true what Vic brings up. Like, they are unproven at backup. I mean, it's hard to have, you know, eight really good defensive linemen. So I don't think they're alone in having to develop their backups, but definitely something that, that they'll have to do in training camp. And then the last thing he says there is the offense should be interesting with a new system minus a couple guys. Like, yeah, man, I would say they missed someone, and that is AJ Brown, who's been traded. But Vic will get to go up against this offense every day in training camp. He'll have a really good idea how things are coming along. He'll obviously get to watch the tape. And I do think he can be a resource for Sean Mannion, meeting with him and, you know, obviously Nick, like, what are you seeing here? What did you think of this play call? What did you think of this look? How can I disguise this better? Vic clearly, is maybe the best defensive coordinator of all time. So he can be a really good resource for them in that regard. So Vic Fangio, always a headline when he talks, and always interesting to hear what he has to say. All right, so NFL offseason grades are in now that the offseason has pretty much come to an end, and the Eagles have done well. ESPN, I think, gave them an A-. Bill Barnwell very well-respected Football Mind gave him an A-. So they are performing well in a lot of these things, and that's no different in this group that we're going to talk about, where NFL.com gave an offseason grade for all 32 teams. We're going to focus on the NFC East. And the Eagles, well, they get a B-plus from NFL.com. Now, you would think that would be the best grade in the division. I mean, B-plus. I know when I was in school, that was a pretty good grade. But it actually is not the best grade, as in the NFC East, two teams got at least an A and another team also got a B+. So looks like the offseason's had the division, I should say, has had a good offseason. So why did the Eagles get a B+? Well, NFL.com writes, quote, "Eagles general manager Howie Roseman runs one of the most consistently successful teams in the league, so it's possible this offseason will look better as time goes on. But parting with Brown, AJ Brown, Jalen Phillips, and N'Kobe Dean, among others, could hurt. Philly did acquire Jonathan Greenard and signed AJ Epenesa to fortify their pass rush, and also signed the boomer bust Tariq Woolen to bolster their secondary. Of course, before trading Brown, they jumped the Steelers to draft wide receiver Mekhi Lemon and picked up tight end Eli Stowers in the second round. The offense might look different in 2026, which could be a good thing after last season's inconsistencies. But it's a lack of change for a team that won at least 11 games in each of the last 4 years. I'm sorry, it's a lot of change for a team that's won at least 11 games in each of the last 4 years. Roseman's track record earns a benefit of the doubt and a respectable grade," end quote. I think that last part is mostly fair. I think the track record of them winning is certainly worth pointing out. Howie's track record in free agency is pretty hit or miss. Like, he has years where he just absolutely hits on everything, but the flip side of that is he also has years where he absolutely does not, right? And he does not hit on the majority of free agents. So could be pretty boomer bust. Now, they paid a lot of money for Tariq Woolen. I think boomer bust is a good way to kind of explain what he could be, where he could legitimately be a top five corner in the NFL. Like, he has that type of man coverage ability, that athleticism, or he could be somebody that Vic Fangio is just sick of by week 7 and it's money not well spent. But, you know, he brings up Jonathan Greenard. We talked in the Daily Bird about how I think his acquisition gets put a little under the radar because it happened during the draft. It was kind of overshadowed by all the AJ Brown drama, but he's a potentially extremely good player. I mean, he was 2 years ago second most pressures in the NFL among the edges, good against the run. Like, he can really be an impact guy for him. I think getting him for instead of paying Jalen Phillips is a good signing, in my opinion. I think Greenard is an upgrade over Phillips, and they paid less money than they would have for Phillips. So I'm in on that move. But overall, a B+. It's funny, you hear B+, and you would think there'd be a lot more positive things, but definitely some concern in how they describe the Eagles offseason. So how did other teams in the division do? Well, the Giants got an A+, the best grade in the division. They highlight bringing in John Harbaugh as the new head coach, trading Dexter Lawrence to the Bengals, an absolute steal for the Giants, in my opinion, and then drafting both in the top 10, Avril Reese and Francis Muaga, the offensive tackle, I believe, out of Miami, if I remember correctly. So I think A+ is fair for the Giants just because they got like a true consistent, great head coach, and they have needed just like baseline NFL competency after what they've gone through at head coach and GM. And so I think if you're the Giants and you said, you know, at the beginning of the offseason, you can hire John Harbaugh, then I think that is an outstanding outcome for them. So really, like, I'm not like huge on Avril Reese, but I think two good players in the top 10, they got a steal when they traded Dexter Lawrence. The Malik Nabers thing is concerning. It does seem like he, you know, could still really deal with the leg injury he suffered last year into the season. But when you get John Harbaugh, you get a professional in there, I'm good with them getting an A+. The Cowboys get the second best record, grade in the division. They get an A-. They bring up as the main moves, re-signing running back Javonte Williams, putting the franchise tag on George Pickens, not exactly a great thing for them. Rashawn Gary, the edge, who I think was a good move for them. D. Winters is brought in on the defense. Then they get Caleb Downs and Malachi Lawrence in the draft, two players I really like. Obviously, also bringing in Christian Parker as their defensive coordinator. And the Giants are, I mean, the Cowboys are a team, man, where, like, if I pick a team other than the Eagles to win the division, I'm going to pick the Cowboys. I think it's going to be really close. Their offense will be good. I think their defense could definitely suffer some growing pains with Christian Parker, but they add two, in my opinion, very talented players in Caleb Downs and Malachi Lawrence. So I think the Cowboys will be interesting. I think A-minus might be a little strong, but I think they definitely have had a good offseason. And then Washington tied with the Eagles at a B+. They draft Sonny Styles in the first round. They get Laremy Tunsil on a contract extension. And then among their signings, they bring in Odafe Owawu and Kalavon Chasen, who I'm sure you guys are laughing at my pronunciations of those two players. So when I look at the division, I mean, this is simplistic, but you can really just say, like, is Jaden Daniels awesome again? Because if he is, then Washington's going to be really good. Is the Cowboys defense top 18 instead of bottom 10? If that's the case, they might win the division. And then with the Eagles, of course, I think it all comes down to the offensive line. The Giants, the sell for them is they lost a lot of games last year where they were up big. I'm in on Jackson Dart having a big second year. And if John Harbaugh manages the games better, they're just like have more regular NFL stuff and not run by, frankly, bad people at their job. Then I think they could win some of those games and all of a sudden they're at 9-10 wins. But it'll be a very competitive division for sure. Winning the division this year will not be easy whatsoever for the Eagles. All right. On the other side, we're going to take a look at some of the biggest shocking offseason acquisitions the Eagles have had since really my time covering the team. And in honor of Jaylen Brown, just moments that made you go, I simply cannot believe they just got that player. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. So on the
ready to level up, Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Pod Thursday, me and James talked a lot about the Jaylen Brown acquisition and just the craziness of it all. There really is only a handful of trades, and I can't even think of any other ones, honestly, where I didn't hear about them within 30 seconds of happening. Like, my literal job is to stay up to date on this stuff. I'm on my phone way too much because of it. But on, you know, Wednesday night, I'm walking around. I put my phone down for maybe 3 or 4 minutes to do something in the kitchen. I open it up. There's a text from my brother, all caps, Jaylen Brown. And I'm like, what in the world is he talking about? And at first I was like, he must have been traded. And I was like, the indication from the text would seem to indicate he's a Sixer, but that can't possibly be correct. Then I look, I have 51 other missed text messages. And yes, Jaylen Brown is a Sixer. Truly a shocking moment. I think in today's sports, we speculate on so much. There's so many rumors. There's so much hypothetical stuff that it's hard for something to happen where you truly don't think about it before it happens. Like, Giannis was traded and maybe he was never going to be a Sixer, but it was certainly talked about a lot. We're talking about LeBron potentially coming to the Sixers. You talk about any player with the Eagles. How many times have I said on this pod, if a player is available, we're going to talk about the Eagles with him? Jaylen Brown to the Sixers is just something people really didn't discuss a ton. So when Jaylen Brown gets traded there, I mean, honestly, it's probably the closest I'll ever get at this point in my life to finding out a piece of sports news like in the newspaper the next day. That's how late it felt I was on this. Like, imagine opening the paper up and being like, Jaylen Brown's a Sixer. I mean, no one saw this coming. It was never discussed. So truly a shocking moment. And they got me thinking, who were some of the players the Eagles have acquired where it was truly shocking? Like, the second it comes out, you're like, wow, I did not see that coming at all. And I think there are probably, I have about 5 or 6 down here where it happened. And like, I remember where I was when it happened. So the first one was Nnamdi Asamoah back in 2011. So 2011, I was 14, 15, if that sounds right, somewhere around there. I remember being in my parents' like living room on the couch. I remember where I was sitting, and it's announced that Nnamdi Asamoah is signing with the Eagles. And you go back and you look at the stories about it. And this is from, I think it was NFL.com. Quote, one day after acquiring Pro Bowl cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie from the Cardinals, the Eagles stunned the NFL world and signed another Pro Bowl cornerback, Nnamdi Asamoah, to a 5-year contract, end quote. It really was like that. Like, it was stunning. Nobody thought it was coming. They had just got DRC. And it just, like, it was shocking. Now, it was funny. I remember when they first got him, one of the counters that people would bring up is like, oh, he doesn't have a lot of interceptions, but that's because he's not targeted a lot because he's so good in coverage. Well, I think what we found out is when you're playing on the Raiders and nobody else around you is that good, well, then you're just not going to get targeted a lot, because he got to Philly and obviously it was a disaster. Now, he was a little older, I guess, like, you know, wasn't, I think he was probably in his fifth, sixth, seventh year or something when the Eagles got him. And they paid him a lot of money and it didn't work out. And now, you know, the Eagles have, it's a joke among Eagles fans, eating your car, eating your lunch in the car, like Nnamdi Asamoah. So did not work out. But yeah, remember him, DRC. I remember Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. People had an idea that was going to happen because his name showed up on the Eagles jersey website. When you like clicked on players, you could scroll down and you would see DRC there. People knew they were going to trade Kevin Cobb. That was rumored before it happened. But I remember when it happened, it was like DRC was really good. Like, that was a really good acquisition for him. So the idea of having Nnamdi, DRC, and Asante Samuel, like, that was the dream team. Now, I think about the dream team. We talk about the idea of the Sixers signing LeBron. It feels a little too dream teamy for me. But yeah, Nnamdi did not work out at all. All right, the second one, truly shocking. The Eagles on March 10th, 2015, acquire Sam Bradford from the then St. Louis Rams in exchange for Nick Foles. And the deal, the Rams also got the Eagles' fourth round pick in 2015 and a second round pick in 2016. The Eagles get a fifth round pick in 2015. So just in terms of, look, and I know hindsight's 2020, but you want to talk about overpaying for somebody. A first, a fourth, and a second. I'm sorry, not a first. My apologies. Second and a fourth for Sam Bradford is wild. Like, Sam Bradford, and at the time, I was not a fan of the trade. It's an example I often use of how you could see Rams fans were like, thank God this guy is gone. And I feel bad. Sam Bradford was a really nice guy. I always got along with him when he was on the team. But like, man, just was not the answer before they got him, was not the answer when they had him. I remember preseason, all the, like, he was doing the play action stuff and, or the RPO stuff, and defenders were hitting him and all the questions about how are you going to expose someone that's injury prone to all these hits. And if I remember correctly, he played every game for the Eagles that year, if I'm not mistaken. And then obviously next year they draft Carson Wentz, they sign Chase Daniel, and, you know, Sam Bradford is traded and they end up getting a first back for him. So just talk about the difference in general managing. Chip gives up a good quarterback in Nick Foles, a fourth and a second. Howie gets a first for Bradford. So, you know, really good job by Howie there. But yeah, when they acquired Sam Bradford, I also always remember the month after they got him, I would call around to the Eagle stores and ask if they were selling the Sam Bradford jersey. And it became a big thing. It was like, why are they not selling Bradford jerseys? He's the new quarterback. Why aren't they selling him? And it was because they were going to try to trade him for Mariota. And obviously that didn't happen. But after the draft, they start selling the Bradford jerseys, the sleeves. I was the one that initially made fun of his sleeves. So yeah, crazy time, the Sam Bradford era. The other one, I remember where I was, the Eagles trade LeSean McCoy and acquire Kiko Alonso. Now, this is probably a bigger deal for trading LeSean, obviously, but I remember being at an event. Big Dom was there. I feel like Howie was talking. It was like at a charity event. It was some type of event. And Howie was talking. Or no, it was Chip. Chip must have been there. And yeah, Chip was there, and like Chip didn't talk. He's rushed out by Big Dom. It's crazy. They traded LeSean, and it was like, I can't believe I was there when this happened. And obviously Chip ended up didn't talking, so it didn't matter that I was there. But Kiko straight up for LeSean is funny. Like, obviously LeSean, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in Eagles history. Kiko, I think, got a bit of a raw deal. Like, I think he was a solid player. I think he gets hurt by the fact he was traded for LeSean. He had that unbelievable catch. In that one-handed against the Falcons for the interception. That was really cool. So what a guy Kiko was. He was certainly interesting to talk to and converse with. But yeah, LeSean, not a great trade there. But in terms of shock value of acquiring somebody, Kiko Alonso definitely there. The other one, if we want to, you know, keep going around that time frame, DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray, maybe a little bit doesn't count because there was rumblings about it before them signing him. But I remember watching DeMarco Murray walk into the NovaCare. I remember being at Ryan Matthews' press conference when DeMarco was in the building. And it was like, is he going to sign? And just somebody that never ever worked out with the Eagles. In fact, if you want to say, like, worry about Jaylen Brown, bringing in rival players from other teams just feels like it never really works. So DeMarco Murray ends up getting 193 carries in his 1 year, 702 yards. I'd forgot this when I looked it up. 11 total yards in his first two games, 2 yards in his second games. Only has over 100 yards one time. If I remember, he had a run in that final game of the season against the Giants where people were like, oh, look, now that Chip's gone, like, you know, he's actually running well. But man, just a disappointing year. Malcolm Jenkins putting the chair out when DeMarco wasn't practicing, which now would be a much bigger deal than it was then. I mean, now with social media, it would be insane. Social media was around there, but it's like a bigger deal now. It would be wild. And DeMarco was just never really happy there. It just seemed, you know, I don't think he was like a bad guy, but it just didn't fit. He always seemed in a bad mood. Like, just wasn't a good tenure, obviously, for DeMarco Murray. Now, another running back acquisition where I remember where I was, it was actually when I first started dating Kristen-ish, probably like a year or so in, and I'm at her house in Westchester. I am leaving. It's the middle of the day, and I had my car parked in a spot where I wasn't supposed to park it, but people parked it there all the time, and it was mostly fine. I go out to leave, I get a text, they traded for Jay Ajayi, like out of nowhere, and my car had been towed. So I had to do all this while going to get the car from the place that it was towed. It was a disaster. But just the shock of Jay Ajayi getting acquired. Like, at that point, there was still, you know, the talk of how he didn't really invest in running backs. They trade a 4th-round pick, which is not nothing. Excuse me. Not nothing at the trade deadline. So Jay Ajayi comes, obviously helps them win a Super Bowl, was a good guy. I enjoyed being around Jay Ajayi. Obviously, his knees, unfortunately, never allowed him to have a very long NFL career. There was a whole controversy about like whether he truly had an accent or not, but I thought Jay was a good dude, and he played really well for the Eagles, but just a shock value of acquiring him. I remember it was like, all right, they're all in. Like, they are going all in for Jay Ajayi. And Jay Ajayi, someone we reference quite a bit because Eagles practice against him in joint training camp practices. I don't remember if they won that one or not. I don't think I did win or loss records at that point for joint practice, but I'm sure they won because I remember Carson was unbelievable in the 2017 joint practices. But they got a chance to look at Jay Ajayi, get their eyes on him, see him up close, and they trade for him. And ultimately, he helps them win a Super Bowl. The other one, and now we're getting to like the current era of Eagles, but the now I'm awake, AJ Brown traded to the Eagles from the Titans on draft night. I remember being at the draft show with Ike Reese. They had drafted Jordan Davis and we're both kind of like, man, like this is not going well. And they trade for AJ Brown and Ike famously screams into the mic. I won't even try to do the impersonation because only Ike can do it, but he yells, now I'm awake. It's a iconic sound drop now. And it was exciting being at the party, the draft party that night. Everyone was thrilled. And obviously, despite the bad ending, we know AJ had arguably the best career an Eagles receiver has ever had, certainly in that top five discussion as of now. We'll see if Devontae can maybe pass him. But they trade the 18th pick and a 3rd-round pick to get him. Money, or assets, I guess I should say, well spent. But yeah, shocking moment. I remember going to the studio with James after, like late night, before he had to get up at 3 a.m. and doing the pod. So definitely an exciting night in my life. It was cool to be there and to get to experience it with everybody. But I don't know if anything tops this. Jalen Hurts being drafted in the 2nd round. Now, it's a draft pick, so you could argue it's not the same as a trade. But just in terms of drop everything you're doing, everything just changed, phone exploding, getting on WIP right away, the content it created, the stun kind of reaction from everybody. Now, it's funny. I do remember I wrote an article looking at quarterbacks they could draft, and I had Jalen Hurts in there. So I like to take a little bit of a victory lap on that. But I didn't. No one actually thought they would take him, certainly not in the 2nd round. So, you know, yeah, I think it's in terms of like, where were you moments. I remember being in the kitchen at me and Kristen's Westchester house, you know, first house we bought together. I remember standing over the island and like typing away and calling Joe Giglio because he was on the air. And it was just stunning. It was an absolutely stunning pick. And I will maintain that the thought process behind it was a bad one. Obviously, it worked out great with him, but I never liked the idea of taking a quarterback before you move on with the other one, just like I would never advocate for the Eagles to take a quarterback in the 1st or 2nd round with Jalen on the roster. But it works out great. Jalen becomes, in my opinion, the best quarterback in franchise history. But man, what a shock it was when they selected Jalen Hurts. So maybe there'll be a shocking move over these next few days. Maybe LeBron will sign. I don't think he would qualify as shocking at this point. It would certainly be an unreal moment in franchise history, but it'll be hard to ever top the shock of the team acquiring Jaylen Brown. So go out, enjoy your weekend. I will talk to you guys on Monday. I got an exciting one planned for Monday. So until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds!
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. Men's National Team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.